Does it matter if telecommunications companies give business partners business class service? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Federal regulators are signaling that they're switching course and are now moving away from the idea of network neutrality. That is, everyone who uses the internet should be treated the same. The FCC is suggesting that while it embraces safeguards and other monitoring, it wants to let telecoms set up fast lanes on the internet for business partners willing to pay. Marvin Amori is a fellow at the New America Foundation and advises startup companies on net neutrality. Mr. Amori, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the telecom companies say it's their equipment, their fiber optic cable and switches. They should be able to offer different classes of service to whoever they want. Why do you see this as a public policy issue?
The internet is now basic infrastructure like roads or the electricity grid. And we don't let private electricity companies determine what kind of refrigerator you can plug in. So right now, people rely on the internet for everything and should be allowed to choose how to use it.
I hear you saying that it might bias the internet toward bigger companies with more money.
Once AT&T and Verizon start imposing taxes and tolls on the internet, only Google and Netflix and Yahoo could afford a fast lane, and the rest of us won't be able to compete. No one will want to sit and wait for our website to load when Google and Yahoo are zippy.
But here's the thing, Marvin. Consumers are going to see some benefits, like it's possible a Verizon could do a deal with a Netflix so that Netflix gets faster data flow and doesn't stall as often, and they might welcome that.
And the internet has been so transformative that all we do is stifle that innovation. And so the example of Verizon making a deal with Netflix, what that means is Amazon Prime, YouTube, and any new video application would not have that deal.
In this hypothetical example that I posed, Marvin Amori at the New America Foundation, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
General Motors said this morning that its profit fell more than 80%, its worst quarter since it came out of bankruptcy in 2009. A series of recalls hurt, but excluding these one-time items, profits radically beat expectations, and GM stock was up more than 1.5% in early trading. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on GM's condition.
Since emerging from bankruptcy, GM has gone from this message of redemption.
We're putting people back to work, designing,
to this, new CEO Mary Barra being grilled in Congress.
We will not shirk from our responsibilities now and in the future. Today's GM will do the right thing.
Which appears to include heads moving and rolling.
Since the recall, we have been seeing more and more changes in mid to upper management.
Paul Eisenstein at the Detroit Bureau, an auto industry news service, says expect more of the same. Meanwhile, GM is launching two new engineering divisions, one specifically to deal with safety problems. Management professor Gary Chason at Clark University.
The image of the company as a huge lumbering company where management holds back on innovation and change is an image that the company is going to have to rid itself of very quickly.
And Chason says it'll take more than HR shuffles to accomplish that. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The chances of getting into some colleges hit all-time lows this year. The admissions rate was about 5% at Stanford this time around. And many are stuck in admissions purgatory, the wait list. Sam Harnett reports on why colleges are growing their wait lists and using them in surprising ways.
You may think a wait list is for applicants who aren't quite as good as those admitted outright. But it's not that simple. Chris Munoz is the vice president for enrollment at Rice University.
The differences are so subtle and so nuanced.
The waitlist has A-plus students, athletes, even applicants who can pay the full tuition. Munoz says waitlisting students is like choosing backups for a sports team. You want one for every position.
Sometimes you need quarterbacks and sometimes you need tight ends. So it's luck.
Waitlists help manage what's called yield. That's the percentage of students who will accept the college's acceptance. Yield affects a school's ranking and bond rating, so it's important for those initially admitted to come. It's suspected some schools are actually waitlisting applicants who seem too good because they are a risk to yield numbers. Colleges don't want to be used as a safety and then ditched for a first choice. Admissions consultant Annie Roskin thinks this may have happened to some of her students.
The thing is, you don't know what a waitlist means. You never Kids don't know.
Maybe you're on the wait list because you didn't visit the campus. Some schools factor in this kind of demonstrated interest. Could also be that your application just wasn't strong enough. Or the school wanted to soften the blow of rejection. Who knows?
It's purgatory for a kid, basically.
Katie Murphy is the president of the National Association for College Admission Counseling. She says waitlists are part of a vicious cycle. Acceptance rates keep falling as panicked kids apply to more and more schools.
It's our own admissions March Madness vortex.
And school rankings fuel that madness. Murphy says ambitious applicants are pursuing a small group of elite colleges, not because they are the best fits, but because they are the most effectively branded.
I think everybody would be better off if they didn't believe that there were only 30 colleges that were good colleges.
If that doesn't change, expect more kids to be stuck in admissions limbo on the wait list. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And who's that sitting cross-legged in a hoodie with a laptop on his knees looking super rich? Right there between Leo DiCaprio and Rihanna. The waxwork version of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. There's a Madame Tussauds opening in San Francisco this summer. There's already a Wax Gates and a Wax Jobs. If you have time later today, do me a favor. Look up the phrase Uncanny Valley and you'll see why I asked you to do so. Uncanny Valley. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.